You know, when I was a kid, there was just something about the magic of Christmas time. I still have that kind of feeling that I just love this season. I love the Advent season. I can remember as a kid waiting for my grandparents to arrive for Christmas time. We lived in Michigan, and my grandparents came all the way from New Jersey. And just as a little kid with my two younger brothers, just waiting for Grandma and Grandpa to show up, it was just a magical time. And you know, today everybody has cell phones. And of course, you can call somebody if you're running into traffic or weather. You can text somebody, but back then, I mean, they just said, we're coming in sometime this weekend kind of deal. And so you didn't know exactly the day or the hour sometimes. And sometimes they did say, well, okay, we're coming Saturday, but you didn't know the time. So me and my brothers, we would just sit there at the front window and stare out the window. And we must have asked my parents, when is Grandma and Grandpa going to come? And about 100 times during one day. And it was just a wonderful time expecting them to come. And of course, we're getting the house ready. We're cleaning up, you know, just scrubbing everything down, dusting everything. I had to clean my room, which is something it took a long time for me to do. We had to get all the food ready for everything. It was just a wonderful time of preparation. And I remember the excitement of waiting for them to arrive and just anticipating that, for them to come. And, you know, Israel, you think about, you know, we're looking at things kind of in hindsight. You know, we have this 2020 vision where we see things in retrospect. We see what took place and what transpired. But Israel, for many, many years, had been anticipating and waiting for their Messiah to come. And the problem for Israel, even though they had the scriptures, they had the law, and they had the prophets to read and the scriptures to study, the problem was that they were looking in the front door, so to speak, sort of a king to come in and usher in a new kingdom and have a you know, kind of like the days of David to bring in his reign and his rule and save them from the oppressors of the Roman government. And so they were anticipating Jesus coming through the front door. But you could say Jesus came through the back door. He came in a way that they didn't expect. He came in an unexpected place, even though the prophet had spoken of a specific time and the location. Israel had largely missed it, even though they were anticipating the Messiah. I want to just read a couple verses here from John. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, listen to what John says here. He says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." It's interesting as John's describing Jesus, who's the light, who's come into this world. He's the Word made flesh. Israel was largely ill-prepared because they didn't understand God's holy purposes, even as they had the scriptures in front of them. They couldn't or didn't receive the Messiah even when he showed up in their doorstep, so to speak. Now, it's easy for us as we kind of looking back and seeing what transpired, and of course we have, again, the looking back, the hindsight view of things. It's easy for us to blame Israel, but you know, you could say that many of us, for the very same reasons, miss Jesus today. We miss our Messiah. We miss the Savior. And I want to look at four reasons this evening of why people today largely miss who Jesus is and what he's come to do to rescue and redeem us. The first reason why a lot of people miss Jesus is people look in the wrong spot. You know, Israel expected to find something different. They expected this Messiah to be born in Jerusalem. They expected that that he would be of royal lineage in the sense that he would be born in a palace. And they were expecting all these things that would transpire. But God had a way of doing things different. You know, people today look to find peace and hope in meditation and different New Age things and horoscopes. And some look to the stars for their answers. Others try to find hope and peace in material possessions. If I just have one more thing or buy that one new item, somehow I'll be happy. Other people try to find their hope and peace through fame, or maybe trying to climb the ladder of success in their careers or in their jobs. Maybe it's in a hobby. They have no joy in life, but when it comes to finding something they enjoy doing, they put all their eggs in that basket. And so everybody today is looking for something, but many are looking for fulfillment in the wrong spot. They're looking for it in the wrong places, really to their own peril. You know, Israel missed it in those days, and many people today miss who Jesus really is because they're looking in the wrong spot. The second reason why people largely miss who Jesus is today is that people are often too busy to really worship him. You know, it was kind of in those days business as usual for Israel at that time. People kind of kept doing what they're doing, go about their business day to day, week to week, month to month. And like Israel in that time, many of us today, many people around us go about their lives and they just are too busy to contemplate who Jesus really is. You know, this time of year, I know the traffic gets a little nuts here in Advent season, Christmas time, the holidays. Everybody is busy doing something. People got places to go, things to buy, parties to go to, things to do. We all have a lot of things happening in our lives. But how often do many people today, and even some of us, make excuses as why we do not worship or read our Bible, worship God, we pray, we neglect to go to church or serve the community in the love of Jesus Christ because we're too busy. We have too many other things going on. And it's not that those things are necessarily bad things, but when those things begin to crowd out the true priority of our life, which must be worship, we miss it. And so we often get sucked into the tyranny of the urgent. We want to get things accomplished now. We have so many tasks on our agenda. But sadly, we go on as business as usual in our lives, and we miss what God wants to do to break in and to touch the very places of our lives that need to be touched. And we often go through days at a time, maybe even weeks, without having an awareness of who God is and what he's done to rescue us and redeem us through Jesus Christ, simply because we're too busy. We have so many other things going on. And again, I'm not just talking about unbelievers here. I'm also talking about people that are Christians. We go about our business even though our hearts are numb. We haven't sensed a real encounter with God lately. We've just kind of kept plugging along. And we've missed the Lord's presence. People are too busy. That's the second reason. The third reason why people largely miss Jesus or miss the Messiah is they just don't care. They really don't care about things. There's kind of an apathy. And you can see that this apathy is destroying America in many ways. You know, this attitude that, well, we've done it. We've gone to church before. And we've kind of got the t-shirt for this. You know, I understand what Christianity is about, or so they seem to think. They've gone to church. They've said their confessions. They've jumped through the hoops, as it were. And they're just tired of it all, and they don't care. You know, I can remember a number of years back, I was talking to a man who was not a Christian, and he was talking about his life, and I was sharing the gospel with him and talking what it means that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and to understand the reality of that. And he still was quite skeptical, and we talked about the afterlife and heaven and hell, and I said, does it concern you that if you were to die today in your sins that you would not go to heaven? He says, you know, I don't care. And there's this type of apathy that you see in people, and we see it all around us. They might cognitively believe that Jesus came and he was a good man, but they don't really connect it with their own lives. And so there's a disconnect, and there's an apathy, and there's a sense, well, I guess that's what you do at Christmas time. You go to Christmas Eve services, and you go to Good Friday services and Easter and all that. But, you know, it doesn't really have any practical meaning for your life. People just don't care. The fourth and final reason why you could say Israel missed their Messiah and why many people today miss who Jesus is because they didn't like what they saw. They didn't like what they saw. You know, Jesus did miracles. He healed people. And when he began teaching to them, he gave them some very difficult teachings. He says, he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and whenever they started hearing that language, they started running away because it was too difficult for them to hear. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus tells a rich man, he says, if you want eternal life, then you need to sell all of your possessions. And the man went away sorrowful because he was rich, and his joy and his hope were in the abundance of his possessions. Those are difficult things. Today, people don't like the fact that Christianity claims that Jesus is the only way to salvation. We like to think that, well, maybe all roads lead to the top of the mountain. As long as you're sincere, as long as you have a sincerity in your beliefs, then God's going to be okay with that. Well, I could stand on top of this building here and sincerely believe that if I jump off, I'm not going to fall. But I would be sincerely wrong. Doesn't mean, you know, I could be passionate about how I feel about that, but the law of gravity is going to kick in, despite how sincere I was. We must really accept the truth of the scriptures that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He's the only way in which we can come to God the Father. You know, people today don't like that a Christianity appears exclusive in our approach to God. And you say, how can God be so close-minded? Well, I'm thankful that God's so open-minded that he provided one way for us to go through Jesus Christ. People today don't like the fact that Jesus, for example, is committed to a biblical traditional marriage, such as you see in Matthew 19, 4 and 5. Those are inconvenient facts for a lot of people and stumbling blocks for many people today. And the things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus taught are offensive to our sinful pride. They're offensive to our flesh, to the things within us that craves to do wrong and the things within us that desires to do things that are not pleasing to God. And so Jesus' words act sort of like a sword, and it cuts, it wounds those places in our hearts and our minds that are wrong. It wounds our prides. You know, Israel missed their Messiah because they looked in the wrong spot, they were too busy, they didn't care, and they didn't like what they see. And the truth is, the same is true for many people today. These realities are still true in people that you are around every day in your neighborhoods and your families. I know for some people, Christmas time is one of the most challenging times because you know you can avoid a lot of your family or extended relatives for other parts of the year, but when you get them all together at Christmas time, it is nuts. It's crazy. Or you just feel like your blood is boiling because that person just gets on your nerves. We all have those times in life, and we all have those people in life that makes things difficult. But what Christmas means is more than just simply family. You hear people talking about Christmas is about being with those that you love. Well, it's a good thing to be with people you love, but Christmas is really about Jesus, who loved us while we were yet sinners, and he died for us. And so when you understand the rest of the story, not just the fact that Jesus came as a baby, but also he came to die on the cross for our sins so that his blood could be spilled on the altar before God so that when we repent and put our trust in Jesus Christ, God will see the blood of his son and not see our sin. And so when we repent and turn to Christ, we are forgiven and made new in the inside. Christmas means that the light of the world has come. I want to read John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Listen to what is said here. Jesus says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. You know, darkness hates the light. Why? Because as Jesus says here, the darkness exposes the light. It exposes darkness, or the light exposes darkness. It exposes sin. You know, I can remember as a kid in our town in Michigan, there was a bar and a club down the street from us called The Wayside. And I would drive past this most every day. My parents would take us into town past this place. It was a red building. It didn't have any windows on the outside. It really, everything was shut off. Everything was dark. And we lived in a college town at Central Michigan University. And so the students, most every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, most every night actually, students were there drinking and partying and dancing the night away. No windows. People of the night hate the light of day. The darkness hates the light. But you know something? Last I checked, anytime you're in a dark room and you turn on the light always wins, doesn't it? The light always wins. But the reason why people have their excuses, and perhaps there may be some of us here tonight, we have our excuses, or why we do not fully, truly trust Christ as our Savior, is because we want to continue to hide in the darkness. We realize that if we were to come in the light, it might mean that Jesus would ask us to forgive that person that hurt us. Ooh, I don't want to go there. Jesus calls us to a place of righteousness and obedience. And naturally speaking, we can't do it on our own. We need the grace of God to do the impossible. You know, I remember watching years ago Mike Tyson, who was the world heavyweight champion at age 20 back in the 80s, and he was just knocking everybody out. And I loved just watching some of the highlights and things, what he could do. And I remember just a few years back, I was watching a documentary on Mike Tyson, and I remember watching and listening to an interview that he shared. After all, he had all this fame and this fortune, even at a young age, he was recognized. He had Nintendo games after him, which I love playing, incidentally. And he had all these things that he had with him. But he said this in the interview. He said, "Inside, I'm empty." You know, people can live for fortune and fame. We can live for fun and do all the things we want to do. And really, darkness is enticing. There's a certain appeal that comes to wanting to live a certain way. It may appear to be sweet because everybody else is doing it. But in the end, it produces bitterness and heartache and hurt. And Mike Tyson understood that reality all too well. Friends, as Christians, here as we celebrate our Savior's birth here this Christmas Eve, we are not children of the night, but rather children of the light. Children of the Jesus Christ, followers of Christ Jesus. I love Christmas lights. I every time we've come in here this Advent season, just seeing the beauty of the lights, and of course going around to these neighborhoods and seeing houses, I just love the festivity and the lights. In fact, I remember when we lived in Minnesota a few years back, I was looking online to try to find places where we could go as a family to look at lights, and my parents happened to be in town, and so I found this place on the opposite side of town, on the other side of Minneapolis. It was a house in a neighborhood. I thought, okay, they got a website up, everything's going to it. We packed all the kids up. We got everything together, and of course, the kids were still in car seats and all this, and it was a lot of trying to get all the Christmas gear going, jackets and boots and everything. We trekked up on the north side of town fighting traffic for about 2 hours almost. And by the time we got to the address, I'm looking at the house. I'm like, this is nothing. We could have looked at the house across the street and found more lights than this place. I was greatly disappointed that they didn't deliver on the lights that was there. You know, it's interesting. We think about Jesus as being the true light of the world. He is a light that does not disappoint. We have in Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world, and He gives lights, and He illuminates our hearts and minds. He shows us the will of God. Jesus is the light that does not disappoint. And He has come into the world, and He has shined His light in our hearts, if our faith is in Him. The guest has arrived, Jesus. The question that Israel and Jerusalem and Bethlehem was dealing with is, will they receive Him? And of course, we know the story. But the question for us today is, will you and I make room for Christ? Not just as a guest, but to come and inhabit our lives. Not just to give a certain room or a space of our lives, say, Jesus, you can have this part of my life, but you can't have this other area of my life. But rather, Jesus, you come in my house and this is your place. You dwell in my life and you rule and you reign and become the Lord of my life in every area, in every closet, and in every dark space. Shine your light in me and ultimately through me. You know, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." That this element where Jesus says there's eating and fellowship, it's the idea that Jesus doesn't intend to come and show up as a guest for a day or for a moment. He comes to live and to dwell within us, that we might faithfully follow him each and every moment of our lives, no spiritual days off. That our lives are transformed, that we are renewed, and that we are made new through Christ Jesus. Jesus has come, and this light has come into our lives, and we become the light of the world as Christ's light shines through us. Will you and I let the light shine in each of us? Will we repent of the dark things? Will we walk in the light? Will we let his light shine in us and through us? I believe that there's three things that God is calling each of us to do this Christmas. Number one, first of all, you need to open your heart, the door of your heart to Jesus, to repent and to believe in his name. To repent is a word that means not just saying I'm sorry and keeping on doing it all the while. It means asking God for forgiveness, but repentance means turning the other way, going an about face. If you're walking and living in darkness and doing the things of the night and things that do not please God, it means God, you have to come to this place in your own life by the power of the Holy Spirit. We say, God, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me and help me to walk in a newness of life? I need outside help. I need a Savior to rescue me because I cannot do this and I cannot please you on my own. And I want to say this, friends, that is a humbling thing to do. And the real reason why many of us never come to that place is because of pride. Because of pride in our lives, because of this selfish desire to think that we can do it on our own way, we can do it on our own terms, and we can follow our own path. But God says we must repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from our sins and recognize that it's only he and Jesus alone who can save us and rescue us. We must open the door of our hearts to Jesus. The second thing we need to do is let his light shine in us. Again, no longer walking in darkness. You know, as far as following Jesus, this is not something that we just do in these four walls when we come and sing songs and praise the Lord together, as wonderful as that is. But what God wants from you and me is worshipers who are willing to worship him day and night, every moment of every day of the week, that we would honor him and that we would obey him. Some of our greatest worship isn't just singing, it's obeying, trusting when we don't know how we're going to make it, but having confidence in who God is, that we let his light shine in our hearts and that we no longer walk in darkness. The third thing I believe that Jesus would be calling us to do, if we're to really receive the message of Christmas, to really understand the hope of what the gospel is to make yourself visible so that his light can shine through you to the world. You know, you hear some people say, well, my faith is a personal thing. It's a private thing for me. Well, I understand, yes, there's a personal and private component to our faith, but dear friends, that's not enough. Our faith must be public. We must let our light shine. We're not called to keep Christ to ourselves. You know, if you go to a great restaurant in town and you think, boy, that steak was just amazing, you want to be able to tell other people because you've tasted and you've discovered the wonderful place that that restaurant is. You know, we do this in the natural, but what God is calling us to do is make this true in the spiritual. That we, if we've tasted and understood the goodness of the Lord and the grace of Jesus Christ and the mercy of God, because we've tasted this, we want others to discover the same hope and the same joy that is found only in him, so that his light can shine through us. You know, Scripture commands us, Jesus commands us to put our light on its stand. You know, for some of us maybe who are Christians here this evening, if you say, yes, I have repented of my sin, and again, it's a daily thing. We need to continually humble ourselves before God. And you say, yes, I'm trying to walk in the grace of God and the obedience of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to commit ourselves to make ourselves more visible to the world and not hide and cower in sort of the corners of our lives, but to put our lamps on its stand, to put the shine the light to others. You know, recently I watched a YouTube clip from 1969. It was a live broadcast of the landing on the moon. And of course, if those of you have seen this Reed broadcast, I know there's been some recent movies about this and some documentaries that are out there. Neil Armstrong, you remember the image there as you see the picture in your own mind of how he left the lunar module and stepped onto the moon for the very first time. And of course, that famous line that he says, "This is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." The truth is this: for God to become a man and humble himself to come into our mess in our world is a giant step for God to demonstrate his love for us. But friends, God was and is willing to do it, that we might be reconciled to him. And he did this for you and for me. Will we let Christ Jesus in? Will we make room for him? Or are we just simply going to make excuses? Some of us have been saying in our hearts and minds, and maybe even our prayers to God, yeah, God, this I want to get right. I know I haven't been doing so well, but I want to walk right with you. And that's a great prayer. But the question is it's about time we get down to business. It's about time we follow through on what we've committed. Now, I understand that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can make up in our minds and say, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus, but our flesh creeps up. But what our invitation must be is to say, Holy Spirit, would you have your way in me? And would you lead me and guide me and grace me to run after Jesus and to let his light shine in and through my life?